Actual results based on individual client.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Bryce Abel joining Gene and Chris on the Paracast, and he is going to audition as the man who says...
The Paracast.
Okay, so we're going to record that. We might actually have to hire him. Unfortunately, then we have to contact the union.
Yeah, the problem is, at the end of the day, I just don't know if you can afford me because.
Listen, I can't afford me.
I'm so unique.
Well, you definitely can afford me. I guess it seems so.
So you're hired.
Yeah,
because in Hollywood, that's really what counts.
Oh boy,
who can we afford to get?
Well, that's okay. So that's interesting here. Okay, now you're putting a film like this together, and a lot of times it rides on a vehicle as a vehicle for a director.
Right.
For a producer, for a star.
Sure.
So this is just...
Who do you see?
Well, you're spitballing.
Do you have a short list?
We're spitballing here. Had your wishes granted, night when you are putting words to paper and you imagine, visualize these characters, Stanton Friedman, Don Schmidt.
Right. Well, I'll tell you something. I do that... Even though, let's put this caveat out there, a guy in my place doesn't cast this film. By the time the studio gets their hands on the director
it's
and the studio, they'll be casting it. But what a writer
you're just a screenwriter.
But what a writer, I'm going to be a producer on the film as well, but I won't write the checks, so therefore they'll get their way. But you do, in your mind's eye, have people in mind as you write something. So I'll throw a couple of names out, not that there aren't 50 other great actors that could do it. But for Stanton Friedman, given that it's taking place in the late 80s through the mid-90s, I look at Philip Seymour Hoffman as a potential guy.
Oh, yeah.
And for Don Schmidt, I look at Josh Brolin as an example.
Yeah.
And for Congressman Schiff, I look at Billy Bob Thornton. Those are the people I was thinking in my head as I wrote.
Rock. Oh, man.
So do you see what I'm looking for? I want this film to be a crossover hit where people like these actors and can see them as characters. And what when they hear about the film Magic Men, they're not saying, oh, is that a UFO movie? They're saying, wow, I like these guys. And the clips, the trailers will have some humor in it. Because there is character humor in the battle. If you think about it, the forces of secrecy have trillions of dollars at their disposal, and these guys don't have anyone to pick up the tab at the Denny's.
Right.
So it's really the underdog. The way we describe what the film is about is to say it's the story of two down-to-earth guys chasing a story that is out of this world, right?
Yeah.
And that's the high concept of the whole thing. Yeah. So maybe you'll see
and
that.
And certainly you look at someone like Stanton Friedman who... basically every project he worked with as a nuclear physicist, they failed. They didn't work.
Right.
He became a UFO...
By default.
Right.
And yet,
let's give Stanton his due. First guy, he's a very, very bright man. And he's the guy who, through sheer dumb luck and being in the right place at the right time, finds Jesse Marcel, which is great. Stan was in a hot, humid television station in Louisiana doing another interview about his standard stump speech when the guy said, you really ought to talk to this Jesse Marcel guy. Think about that.
That's
how history changes.
Yeah, that's huge. Oh, man, talk about being in the right place at the
absolutely.
Right time. And it wouldn't have happened probably without
Or it would have happened, but somebody else might have gotten it.
Right.
Or
it would have taken forever to happen.
Right. Because obviously Jesse Marcel at that time in his life had enough and was ready to tell his story to somebody.
Right.
He had just reached that place in his life.
Yeah. It was
parenthetically, you ever take any serious attention to that other case in Aztec, New Mexico?
Well, I do personally as a student of ufology and all that. In terms of Magic Men as a film, there's only so much you can cover. So I don't look to that as part of this film.
You have 115 minutes to tell a story.
The other crash sites, the Plains of San Augustine?
Sure.
Is it going to be a single event, or are you going to hint around?
Well, here's what I think we want to do, is we want to the extent that there's a debate about whether it's an escape pod or two craft, a mid-air collision, that kind of stuff, you want to put those debates into the voices of your characters and let them argue about it. But that's not what the movie's about. The audience will be watching those two people and saying, my God. Or if you were Stephen Schiff being briefed by Stanton and Don, and they were arguing about a couple of those issues, you would say, wait a minute. You're asking me to believe that a spaceship flies across the universe to come here and then crashes in my congressional district because it blows a gasket. And you guys want to argue about whether there were two of them or an escape pod. Right? If you were the congressman, you'd say, I'm not really ready to get into that level of minutiae.
Yes. Let's just get into the core stories. Is that really a spaceship? But then, of course, comes to the other part of it, which we have to ask here, about Roswell.
Sure.
They capture the wreckage. They take it somewhere.
Yes.
Are you going to focus on that at all or try to show that, or is it all going to be inferences from the characters?
Look, these guys interviewed hundreds of witnesses. While I'm willing to take a lot of dramatic license with Stan and Don as characters to create a movie in a structure that,
right,
and time compression and all these things that you have to do for dramatic license, what I'm trying not to do is to put new words in the mouths of the witnesses. So, in fact, we'll be dealing with some of the issues you talk about there, but through the voices of the actual witnesses with nearly verbatim testimony from them.
But you're not going to show the events or even try to?
No, we are.
Oh, you are?
Okay. Yeah. But, for example, the difference is, if you have someone telling you a story and you illustrate that event, you're not saying the event happened just that way. You're saying, you're illustrating what that person has said.
He's describing something and then you show it cinematically.
In some cases.
Sure.
And in others,
sure,
not. There's a lot of different tricks. And like I said, on the way to production, let's face it, you could shoot it all and you could cut it because you're long. Or you could write it all and the director comes in and says, I want to do it in chronology. One never knows. All I can say is, my production partner, Don Most, and myself intend to stay as involved as we possibly can to try to make it the best quality picture that we can. And sometimes you get really, really lucky and sometimes you don't, but we're going to try to find our good luck.
Yeah, it's a great project and it has tremendous potential because so many people are fascinated by the Roswell scenario.
Right.
And nobody has, besides Paul David's film, which I think was well done.
Yes.
Nobody has actually looked at what has happened for the story to break in 79-80, when all this stuff really finally became exposed in a big way in the public. And no one has ever looked at that.
And the thing is also about Roswell, which is very important. We keep saying this is going to be the last Roswell show.
Right.
And then we bring on guests who may have had some peripheral involvement in Roswell. And we say, you know what? Let's go to other stuff. And guess what? All they want to know about, all the listeners ask about, is Roswell. It will never go away. It's the kind of legend that you can't knock down.
Which is why we might be able to get the movie made, because everybody in Hollywood wants an international project.
Right.
That's the gold standard of Hollywood right now.
Roswell, in fact, they make more money internationally than nationally.
I bet if you
look at the biggest films right now, they're out right now, even the last Mission Impossible film, the Sherlock Holmes movie with Robert Downey Jr., if you look at the box office receipts, the overseas receipts are what, about 60, 70%?
I'm willing to bet that if you went to China and stood on a street corner in Beijing and said Roswell, people would understand what you were talking about.
Yeah.
So I think that's one answer. But I think Paul David's did a great job with Roswell. But A, it was on Showtime, and a lot of people didn't see it.
Yeah.
And B, it was on Showtime. In other words, it wasn't a feature film.
Right.
All right. And then C, it was completely a story of Roswell. So therefore, a lot of people could, you know, those of us who are interested in this kind of stuff definitely want to see it. But do your next-door neighbors want to see it? Maybe not. But if I can create a crossover film where it seems to be about the characters and the investigation, and that's my way into it, and it's not just the telling of the story, it's the telling of the investigation story, then I might have that crossover moment where people say, you know, I saw that movie, I laughed, I cried, I was upset, and at the end of it, I've got a lot of questions.
Yeah. But who's the female lead?
Who's the female lead?
Yeah,
there
you have
are
to have
some
a female
women
lead.
In it, but,
sure.
But the truth is, I think you could argue that there are a lot of films that just have two men in the leads, and I think that, you know, look at everything from I don't know, Trading Places to, you know, every...
Well, Trading Places, of course, had Jamie Lee Curtis.
What a bad example I just came up with.
I'm just saying, I'll show you
that. You could have a really hot research assistant.
Listen, there's women in it. And I just don't want to tell the whole story right now. Yeah. But there's nothing wrong if you look at a lot of buddy cop movies. Those are usually two guys.
Bryce Abel joining us. You're with Gene. You're with Chris. You're in...
The Paracast.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
You expect professional service from your doctor, your accountant, and even the girl who takes your morning coffee order. Why not from your domain registrar, too? Namecheap.com provides stellar service with no sneaky upselling. We offer more features and security options for your website than there are ways to order a latte. And new domains come with WhoisGuard to protect your personal info. At Namecheap.com, you can get your domain for as low as $2.99. Now is a great time to get to know Namecheap.com.
What if pain could be reduced, ailments could be alleviated, physical and mental stress could be eased, and blood circulation increase, all by simply lying down? Introducing the original Biomat. The Biomat is an FDA-registered medical device that combines deep-penetrating infrared space-age technology and revitalizing negative ions with the incredible healing power of amethyst crystals. A Biomat can boost your immune system, relieve pain and stiffness, reduce stress and fatigue, and assist in detoxifying your body. Join the thousands of people reporting relief from chronic pain, fibromyalgia, arthritis, sports injuries, insomnia, and much more. Each Biomat comes with a lifetime trade-in and three-year warranty. Learn more at bio-mats.com, spelled bio-mats.com, or call 360-944-8692. That's 360-944-8692. Visit bio-mats.com today and enhance your life with a Biomat.
So you're a maker of something. Woodcrafts, fishing lures, glass designs, jewelry, purses, perfumes, goat's milk soap. Whatever it is, you made it here in America. Now you're eager for people to buy your products right here locally, instead of buying competing products made on the other side of the world, right? Then you need to check out localmakers.com. Support America. Buy and sell locally at localmakers.com. Doesn't matter if you're a home-based business or a major manufacturer. Localmakers.com offers an easy way to connect with customers within your local community, as well as across the U.S., simply by entering a zip code. And there's no cost to join. So if you're a maker who needs buyers, go to localmakers.com and stock your products on one of our shelves. Localmakers.com, promoting, preserving, and supporting your neighbor's manufacturing businesses.
Folks, Iran and the Mideast nuclear mess is already ballooning our gas prices. Whether you're struggling with food costs, which are being blown up by gas costs now, or know that when the Mideast showdown explodes, whatever food supply you have is all you'll get because of huge panic demand. eFoods Direct Family Packs are the answer. Now, the most affordable, best food is saving you up to 50% compared to other poor quality food companies. The new Alex Jones Quick Fix Family Packs save you so much money, the savings from eating this food will actually help you pay your other bills. No matter what effect the Mideast crisis or the crashing economy have, you'll have food as delicious tonight as 25 years from now. Order now for 50% savings and free shipping on these affordable family packs. Call 800-409-5633 or efoodsdirect.com/Alex. Call 800-409-5633 or efoodsdirect.com/Alex.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes.
You're with Gene, you're with Chris, you're in the Paracast. Bryce Zabel is auditioning as our new Paracast voice. We told him, of course, that the pay scale is very low.
I'm just asking people to write these guys. You know their address. You know where to find them. Tell them how much you enjoyed that.
Okay.
All right? Thank you.
Good, yeah.
I'm not trying to take anything away from you.
Hey,
but,
DeBorum will light up with that one.
This is a tough economy. Yeah. It's a dog-eat-dog world. People got to go for what they need.
Yeah.
It makes it ever harder. But if, for example, Showtime came to you or home box office and they said, okay, you know what? It's not selling. We'll give you, you know, $5 million, whatever. I don't know what their budgets are for a TV movie. Would you still consider it?
Oh, listen. My goal is to make this film.
Okay.
All right. And I will take any good way to make it. And as we all know, there are ways to make the same script for $80 million or $8 million.
Right.
It depends on how you want to approach it, etc. There are some compromises that are made, but sometimes a lesser budget gives you different freedoms.
Sometimes you're able to get the actors to work at scale, hoping to get something on the back end.
That's all cart before the horse for me right now.
Sure.
Right now, my obsession and passion is to tell a compelling story on script that people say, I'd like to make that movie. And we should be so lucky as to find, you know, two or three different sources that want to help us make it, and we can debate how to make it. But I'll tell you one thing. It's easier to make this kind of movie. We do have scenes that are period scenes. We also have special effects scenes, but special effects are cheaper than they were. Even the creature effects are somewhat cheaper than they used to be if you do them right. There's just a lot of experience at this right now, and I know a lot of people that, look, I worked with a lot of people. It's very funny. When I did Official Denial, they took a 12-year-old ballerina and put her in a plastic suit and made her my Gray, and that didn't work out too well. It's a great script, but not the best-looking thing. For Dark Skies, we use CGI and more puppetry.
And nowadays, of course, CGI is pretty cheap.
Yeah.
But I also wonder, with all this stuff, you can produce the best special effects not expensively.
Right.
So why are they spending $250 million to send John Carter to Mars?
Well, that's a good caterer on site.
Because the truth about expense is you want to shoot as much of it as you can and put as few things into it that are CGI as possible. And with John Carter, I'm assuming the percentages of CGI versus reality is very high. Same with Avatar kind of thing, where the entire world you're creating is, you know, you've got teams of hundreds of people working on every frame.
Right.
We won't be doing that in any of these movies.
I don't want to. I want to go
make a movie. I want to get actors. And you know, put them in a hotel room arguing with each other about something and let them act the hell out of it.
Give them a great script.
That's what I'm trying to do
exactly.
Right now.
So at this point, you're finished with the script?
I'm finished with the first draft, and Don Most and I'm going through straightening out a few misassumptions I made at the first draft and fixing it. Probably be out, taking it out within a month or so.
Okay, so then you go to the people who can finance the project.
You know what? This is where I'm uncomfortable talking about it on the radio, because the truth is I don't know exactly what road that will take. I will take any road that looks good. And right now my focus is on writing it, and then in about a month I'm going to focus on selling it.
Yeah. Right.
But there's lots of people who would enjoy this kind of material, and it is a crossover. It's a suspense thriller with characters that you like and love, told about the greatest mystery of our modern age. What more could you ask for in a movie?
And, you know, parenthetically, we look at getting money for things and getting money for something in Hollywood, and we know that, you know, if they like what you do, they'll just open the bank account and just give you all sorts of money. If they're moderately skeptical, maybe they'll give you less money, but you have different options.
I'll be honest.
The point is here, I have to ask you, though, you know, one of the things that we raise in the Paracast is, all right, you got $40 million. You got a network to give you $40 million for Dark Skies. Why can't we give somebody out there give $40 million to do UFO research and learn what's going on? I don't think in 60 years of UFO research we've seen much more than a million or two
anywhere. It's outrageous. And I wish some of the wealthier, you know, when I see Newt Gingrich with his super PAC friend writing these large texts, and I go, wouldn't it be awesome if somebody, by the way, that's not a slam on Newt. I don't care what people think. I'm not here to be political.
But it's obscene. The political process.
I'm just saying, wouldn't it be great, though, if somebody could write that kind of check and put it into a trust fund that was administered by people that were sane and sober to really try to move this ball down the field.
I'm sane, he's sober.
That's true. Okay, well, then I'll give you the money. If I ever raise that money for research, I'll call you, gentlemen.
But that's a serious question here.
Yes, it is.
One we've raised, it, which is obviously Chris knows this firsthand. Lawrence Rockefeller financed some of his work. But he got into UFOs really late in his life. He must have been, what, in his 70s before he even got really interested.
And publicly, but he was interested way before that.
Okay, he was. But he didn't put that money out there until he...
No. You know, Bob Bigelow has done some stuff. And but again, wouldn't it be nice if Steven Spielberg did it? Or Ridley Scott?
Yeah,
they got
Bill Gates.
I mean, Bill Gates, he's giving away money. And I'm not saying it would take a lot, and neither are you.
Yeah.
We're just simply saying it's a valid... Since the institutions that we fund publicly don't seem to be doing a very good job with it, it may be up. This is the world we live in now, where there isn't a blank check from the government for anything, let alone UFO research, particularly UFO research, and that the people have to do it themselves. So I think someone who actually believes this needs to be investigated in a more public fashion could make it happen in a heartbeat.
Right. Or Paul
checkbook.
Allen or Bill Gates.
Yeah.
Or if you look at the estate of Steve Jobs.
Absolutely.
His widow is administering...
That's right.
A fund where they're going to give a lot of money to education, very big to education. And this is an education aspect, too.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Well, you know what? We have an obligation to raise the game. We have an obligation to do that. And that's partly why I'm here and you're here. We're looking for people. Look, there is a spectrum of belief in ufology that we are aware of, and a lot of it can be dismissed. Yet, the way I always put it is a signal noise situation.
You have to look at this information here.
That's what I'm saying.
Raised.
Just because there's tons of noise doesn't mean there's just not a signal.
But is there an active participation by the government to hide this stuff? I mean,
I don't
think about what's happening here now. You had your TV show, Dark Skies. And it went off the air not because of any conspiracy. It was ratings.
Right.
A standard
Absolutely.
Way TV shows get off the air. Not because someone calls up the president of NBC and says, kill that show. You never heard anything during the course of producing that show from anybody saying, hey, you're getting too close or suggesting anything?
Well, actually, okay. Let me back up. A, I personally don't think you need to have government intervention to convince people to make alien movies to prepare us for disclosure.
Yeah.
People make alien movies or UFO-themed movies because they're good box office.
Yeah, right.
And that's why they largely have conflict and are about invasions. Okay. Having said that, and no one at Dark Sky, I never saw any overt influence pro or con on
right.
it, but while we were working on it, we were approached on the night of, I had a party for the launch of the series at my house with 200 people.
And you know what? This is going to be the cliffhanger.
Okay.
The cliffhanger of the ages. He's going to hang out for a little bit longer unless someone drags him away on his iPhone. We have Bryce Abel joining Gene, joining Chris. You're in
the Paracast. The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockoids. A novel in the grand science fiction tradition.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Have you ever seen a U.S. postage stamp featuring Abraham Lincoln, Ben Franklin, or George Washington? If you're into stamp collecting, you know it's a fun, affordable hobby. America's leading stamp dealer is the Mystic Stamp Company, and they want you to have their free 140-page color catalog. Go to mysticstampad.com, the website of the Mystic Stamp Company, serving stamp collectors since 1923. Mystic Stamp is well known in the industry for its experience, superior customer service, and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Go to mysticstampad.com to request your free 140-page U.S. stamp color catalog packed with collecting tips, special offers, color photos, and over 4,600 available stamps. Call 800-433-7811 or go to mysticstampad.com. That's 800-433-7811 and ask for your free U.S. stamp catalog or mysticstampad.com. Mystic Stamp Company, America's leading stamp dealer.
BePrepared.com is making deals because you need to be prepared now and you need to save. Stay tuned for a free offer from BePrepared.com. BePrepared.com is the official site of Emergency Essentials, a 24-year leader in emergency preparedness supplies. Everything from long-term food storage to emergency kits, water storage and filtration to alternative light and heat sources. Now the sale items. Right now through March 9th, save 32% on freeze-dried chicken breast, $140 on a year's supply of basics, and save on the best-tasting instant non-fat dry milk and heirloom garden seeds. All of this and more, all at BePrepared.com. Plus, order $75 or more and get a free $25 gift card by using promo code Genesis35 at checkout at BePrepared.com. Limit one per customer. This sale ends March 9th. Call 800-222-9596 and experience exceptional customer service and our low price guarantee. That's 800-222-9596. Hurry, sale ends March 9th. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
With Gene, with Chris, you're in the Paracast. Bryce Zabel joining us, film producer, TV producer, script writer, talking about his forthcoming project. We hope there is success. And you were telling us something about a party.
Yes.
During the days of the Dark Skies
TV show. Let's just set the table. And again,
please set the table, yes.
Dark Skies is premiering in 1996 on NBC. So we have a cast and crew party at my house where there's like 200 people that show up. And we give everybody, we take everyone's picture when they come in and give them a magic badge, M-A-J-I-C, make them a member of Majestic 12. Everybody's having fun. There's one guy that comes to the party who doesn't have a magic badge on, and nobody knows who he is. And this, I was busy hosting it, so I never talked to him, but he goes, I did talk to him, but not this. He goes up to my Dark Skies partner, Brent Friedman, and introduces himself and says, "We think you've done a pretty good job with it. You're close, but you've still got a few problems. We can help you." And Brent kind of says, "Help us do what?" "Well, help you get it right." And first of all, no one had seen the show yet. It hadn't aired. Now, it had been at the network, but for a guy to say that he's seen it already and it's pretty close to being right, but maybe he could have seen the script. I really don't know. This person ended up introducing Brent and I to his... I was very skeptical, right? And the guy did some other weird things, but he looked pretty held together and all that, and he seemed very legit, and he's implied that he was part of Naval Intelligence. And he actually brought a guy to our office once,
And their situation was that they were saying that they would, you know, help us out if we wanted the help. And it could have been an elaborate ruse. And in fact, that's how I treated it, because I was busy trying to make 20 hours of television. And I thought, I don't have time to launch an investigation into whether this guy is a legit naval intelligence officer or not. So I tried to just, I just had to let it go. I let it go. But I will tell you that the guy showed up, and he did one thing that I thought was fascinating. And I'll just put this out for your viewers. He asked Brent for a napkin, and he wrote a symbol, a group of symbols on the napkin, handed it to Brent. Brent said, "What's this?" And he said, "It's the secret of the universe." And Brent said, "Well, that's, you know, that's all well and good. What does it mean?" And he said, "Sound, light, and frequency. The secret of the universe." I don't know what it means.
Rather cryptic.
And you don't know whether somebody was telling you something or just pulling your leg.
You know what? And it could have been pulling her leg. However, he did find the party at my house, and, you know.
And that was a top secret party.
Not that it was, yeah, okay, it was need-to-know party. But yeah, listen, things like that happen when you're involved in ufology, as you guys know. That was the most specific thing that happened at the series. And it, for those people who want to hear the long version from the horse's mouth, on the Dark Skies DVD set, Brent Friedman, in a section called, I believe it's called The Secret, it's one of those little Easter eggs on the DVD, tells the entire story in detail.
Oh, interesting.
So for those of you who want to know more, I may have gotten a few of the facts wrong, but he tells a great story. Brent's a great storyteller.
And Chris and I get the autographed version of this DVD,
yes,
right?
Yes, you do.
Yeah. Is it Blu-ray or just regular?
It's just the DVD set.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's and you can, by the way, people can get it on Amazon at a very reduced price, and it's really good. I worked so hard with these people to make it as good as it possibly could be, because I felt like it was a gift to the fans if we did that, and they did a terrific job with it. And yes, you will have your own autograph copy.
All right.
Oh, wow.
On the Paracast.
I think we're going to have to also make some kind of contest to give a copy away.
Yeah. Oh, I'd love that.
All right, let's do something.
We'll work that out.
Done contests on the Paracast.
This will be fun.
And, you know, I guess because we're poor merchandisers, I mean, we have an official Paracast T-shirt and everything. We'll get you one with our logo and everything. We have a Paracast store. We do sell the swag, but we never really push it.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
That's got to change. We're in a new world here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got to learn promotion. We've got to hook up with you more.
Yeah.
You know, we've got to take our science fiction stories and, and get you to a treatment.
Well, it would be really good to have you and Rich on the show and talk exclusively and do a full hard-hitting after disclosure.
You know, Rich and I rarely actually have appeared together. We've only done it once. I don't know exactly why that was. We did it once on Coast to Coast, and we had a really terrific time, because a lot of talking about post-disclosure world is a lot of give and take.
Yeah.
It's a lot about people throwing in their own ideas, because the truth is, it's something you can only speculate about. When we wrote the book about it, we told ourselves we had to be bold and daring instead of hold back and be safe, because it's all about creating dialogue and not about ending dialogue.
Yeah.
So we made a few predictions that are very specific, and I'm always eager to hear what other people have to say
great.
About it.
Before we get to our next group of guests here, I'm going to ask you to give us in the next couple of minutes a couple of predictions and or expectations. So will we see disclosure in my lifetime, in Chris's lifetime, in your lifetime? You're the young whippersnapper, I think.
You're awfully kind to say that. But
I'm going
to
snap the whip later. So
yes, you are. Okay. You know what? This has been the traditional problem, hasn't it? With every 5 or 7 years since the 40s, somebody says it's imminent. And in fact, it goes back. Donald Kehoe said it. You know, the Silence Group was going to break its silence. People keep predicting it.
And I'm the only one amongst this crew who actually knew Major
Donald
Kehoe.
Yeah. That's right.
So I think it's a fool's errand to try to say specifically, because so many people have disagreed over time. Here's what I would say. The difference between those days of constant predictions and this day is our own technology, our own ability to force disclosure or to disclose for ourselves. So I'll just take a long view. It won't be 50 years, probably won't be 20 years, could be tomorrow, probably won't be, but it's imminent only because the truth is so large. Our growth in technology is so exponential, and our ability to connect and communicate with each other has gone by leaps and bounds, that I'd say between 10 and 20.
I don't want to throw someone like a Stephen Bassett in here, but I'm going to do it anyway because it's my show.
Well, he's one of the guys that says it's always next year.
Of course. But
and eventually he's going to be right. If he lives long enough, he will be right.
But then he's the boy who cried wolf.
Yeah. Well, there's that, although I think he's an optimist.
Okay.
He's a disclosure optimist. I guess I'm not a pessimist. I'm a disclosure realist. I think that it's like I have a slide image in one of my presentations of a train that's run into a car. And I think that's the best image. The train is truth and the car is secrecy. Eventually, that car is going to be knocked off the tracks by the train. And when it happens is a variable that is yet to be known.
I kind of think the only way it's going to happen is if there is a compelling event and or reason for it to happen.
Yes.
That being that whatever it is out there that's causing UFOs to appear, they or it or whatever it is will stage some event to make it happen.
Well,
otherwise, I don't know how it would happen.
Well, you make an interesting point because let's talk about the one thing that the others, whether it's one group, many groups, whether they're extraterrestrials or time travelers or extra dimensionals, whatever they are, these others, the one thing the others and the secret keepers among the humans have agreed on for the last 60, 70 years is that it should be a secret. Because both groups have had the ability to end the secrecy any time. The others could stage light shows over the cities or actually land on the White House lawn or send a diplomatic mission, and they haven't. And the secret keepers could call a press conference and say, here's what we know. Nobody does that. So the only way disclosure happens, apparently, based on past actions, is an event of some kind or our own self-disclosure will force people to get off their backsides and do the investigation that's necessary.
So otherwise we go through the cycles where the interest wanes, the interest comes back. There is some kind of what I call publicity flap, which is suddenly some compelling case gets publicity and we talk about it, and everybody who had the UFO sightings that year reports their UFO sighting or their other paranormal event, then it happens.
Well, the one thing you can't count on is the established media because they seem to have just missed the boat on this one for 70 years. So they're not going to do it. We have to do it.
Bryce Sable, where can we find more information about the stuff you're up to, which is a lot?
Okay, well, thank you. Richard Dolan and I put up a site called afterdisclosure.com, all run together, where we kind of make that the forum for all things ufological. And we even have a Facebook group at facebook.com/afterdisclosure, because we, like I said, it needs to be a dialogue. Richard and I don't have all the answers. We have some of the questions, and we have some examples of things we might think happen, but we think ultimately for everyone to be to pull it together, we got to start talking to each other.
Bryce Sable, thanks for joining us this week on the Paracast.
On the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Do you suffer from low-functioning adrenal or thyroid? Did you know that mercury from your dental fillings comes off of your teeth both as a vapor and as particles into your body? Wherever mercury deposits in your body, it stops cells from functioning normally. Animal studies show that mercury causes kidney function to drop by 60%. Mercury deposited into your adrenals or thyroid will cause a corresponding drop in function. The number one method by which your body detoxifies itself of mercury is glutathione. The number one superfood that helps turn on all 10 trillion cells of your body to produce glutathione is non-denatured whey protein from grass-fed cows. After investigating, most high-end whey proteins on the market Only one is the most non-denatured, the most active, the most complete, and in our opinion, the most powerful in what nature originally put into the fresh, raw whey. It is One World Whey. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include micro plant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at Terraganics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Jane Steinberg.
Working on a second book in my mind, but every time that I get more into it, another conference paper, another article, another thing intercedes right now. A great deal of controversy has reemerged around the Rendlesham Forest incident.
Tell us briefly about what's going on with that.
Well, there are claims and counterclaims. Let's remember that in the summer of 1997, on the 50th anniversary of Roswell, the Air Force came out with a multi-hundred-page tome, I think it was called Case Closed or something like that, several hundred pages of pure nonsense. And you say to yourself, 50 years after the fact, there is still this driving need to discredit it and the players and the accounts and the documentation. We're heading into it's 31 years since Rendlesham Forest incident, and yet it is still being argued about. It is still being represented as different things. And unfortunately, some of the witnesses are being pushed against others, and it's all going to be readdressed this summer, June 16th and 17th, back in England. And my intention is to encourage our conference organizer to do something we were disallowed from doing last year because at the last minute a documentary company putting together something for television stepped in and grabbed the rights. The intention had been to do a DVD to follow up on the wonderful job we had done raising about £7,000 that night of the 30th anniversary conference on December 28th, 2010, for a local series of children's hospices in Suffolk. And it was very disappointing to me that we were not even able to have our own copies of what went down that night, and instead it became private, as opposed to having a DVD made that in perpetuity would still feed money into this wonderful charity.
Yeah, worthy cause, boy, yeah.
Yes. So what my intention and Larry's is for this one, and I'm sure that I'm optimistic our organizer will agree, is that it be DVD'd and that all sales go to a charity of their choice, a local one in East Anglia. However, what I want to see is a general notice made to every and all persons who could be attending that they are not only allowed to, but encouraged to bring their own video cams and recorders, that we, the speakers, all waive our copyrights, that we encourage everybody to go viral with this and let the chips fall where they may, in the words.
Get the word out, too.
Judge John Sirica, late of the Watergate hearings.
Yeah.
And then let you folks decide without it being filtered through or the need to buy a set or see a segment of the snippet on YouTube or something like that. But this has been a wonderful conference, hasn't it?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
it's just gone by too fast.
And I'm really sorry I missed your I'm sure, moving presentation that detailed out your long involvement with the late Bud Hopkins, who's was a real pioneer and a pillar in this whole community.
Yeah.
And you know, it's really, you know, I tip my hat to you for being such an eloquent spokesman for the man's life work. And, you know, I think it's the other thing that I really wanted to mention. I know you're really just being pulled in many directions here. One of the things I wanted to mention to you and acknowledge publicly is the just deep pleasure I had in editing your conversation with Gary Hanselton. It was just, I learned so much from you guys. It was just, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it.
You know, explain to our listeners what we're talking
about.
Yeah,
we're talking about
context.
Okay, well,
all right.
Peter was one of quite a number of very, very smart, learned, and experienced ufologists and thinkers who were involved in the Disclosure Dialogues project. And he's featured prominently in It Could Happen Tomorrow, the film that, you know, we won the Ebe Awards this year. And I must say that your just eloquence and your closing statement about how you and Gary have done the work, you've done the research, and it's really important that everybody out there who's interested in this subject gets themselves up to speed. Stop drinking the True Believer Kool-Aid and make your own decisions based on your own research, not Entertainment Tonight, I mean Coast to Coast, and other shows that tend to pander to the pop culture sort of idealized view of this subject. It is infinitely more complex, and you eloquently brought that out, and I really thank you for your involvement in the project. It was really pivotal for me.
You addressed several points. First, thank you for your words about my talk on Bud. When I was invited to speak here, I was very excited, and I sent the nice folks at Open Minds about 10 topics I was ready to go on. And they said, we'd like you to speak on Bud. I had written a remembrance on him for Open Minds, another one for a British magazine. I did about, 12 of your fellow radio shows reminiscing about Bud, and that was part of my healing process.
Now, there's some other magazine in this country you didn't write for, I would expect.
Oh, correct.
Okay.
For me, that was it and fine, and when I got this assignment for That's What It Was, I've probably done conservatively quite a number of hundreds of public talks since 1977, revolving generally around the subject of UFOs. This one is different than anyone I had ever done, and the challenge in part was Bud and I were friends and colleagues for 35 years. I did not want to have people feel I was idealizing him or just presenting the best part of him. I wanted people to also have a sense of what a very special human being he was, what a great artist, what a wonderful sense of humor, what a true humanist, what a great intellect.
Yeah.
And I thought, right, I'll devote myself to that. And then I realized I can't talk about Bud without talking about my relationship with him. Is people going to see that as sort of an ego thing of pushing forward? Is anybody going to think I'm positioning myself? You know,
it's tough.
I want to do.
That's a tightrope.
Well, I realized the reason I got into this, as you know, Chris, was my sister and I she first talked to me about her abduction experiences in 1975. As far as I knew, I had never, Betty and Barney Hill were the only thing out there, and I wasn't into this stuff at all. And I realized that she was really the third leg of our triangle. He worked with her extensively. They became dear friends. And on top of that, because there's a lot of emotional content in the talk, and I'm a good speaker, and I know the material, I did not want to rake the crowd's emotions. And there is a point where I have to say that my sister died. And manage in moving along without being dispassionate, but not dwelling on it, and then manage my own feelings as I gave this talk. I also wanted to be rich in images, photographs I had taken of Bud, his studio, his work over the years, pictures of Helen, pictures of me and Bud, etc., in almost an impressionistic but an extremely methodical way. So thank you there. And the things that people have said to me over the past few days about how they felt about the talk, I've just never been prouder of a presentation. And, you know, when you're a speaker at a conference like this, the understanding is you get paid your flat fee, your transportation is covered in your room, but we draw no royalties from, you know, the products sold. And that's the way it should be, as far as I'm concerned, to support, you know, a small revenue stream coming in so to help have next year's conference. But this is when I'm proud to say that anybody that wants to pay $15 and get that from Open Minds, it's a talk I'll be forever proud of. As for the disclosure dialogues, you know, there are certain moments where something very simple happens and it changes everything. I've been doing conferences like this and, you know, being interviewed for decades. And Jennifer Stein, it was just as though some epiphany happened. And what she did that was different was rather than say, sit down and let me interview or sit down and talk, she sits down and have a conversation with this person.
Right.
Many of us knew each other. Gary and I certainly knew of each other's work, had followed each other's work for years, admired each other. But we had never met till that weekend.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
You would never know it watching that.
Oh. It was like, oh, they knew who
I just assumed
are.
You guys knew each other.
I've been looking
years.
Forward to talking to you.
Man.
For me, after 2 minutes, I forgot we were being filmed. We're sitting there having
the
a wonderful chat.
That makes it more natural.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Right. I want to ask you briefly, because you're going to be leaving in a few minutes, and we have to split for a very quick break here. I want to ask you just quick summary of what you're feeling about disclosure is and when it might happen. We have Peter Robbins joining us. More to come. We're with Gene and Chris, but we don't have Bryce able to do this. We have to call upon Chris to say,
you're in the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.